Good morning. I pray that you are enjoying the Christmas wonderland as much as I am. It is truly beautiful, you have to admit that. Today we come to the last Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the church always celebrates the great solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. It's a mouthful. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. And in this one celebration, the church kind of sums up what she's been doing all year long, declaring Christ as Lord. Really, the whole liturgical year is focused on that. Jesus is God. Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Lord. And so, almost as a summation of this whole liturgical year, the church celebrates this one solemnity. I think the idea of kingship and kings falls upon deaf ears for us. We've lived in a democracy. Really, all we know of is a democracy. The idea of kings and knights and queens kind of sounds just like a fairy tale. The best we know is the monarchy in England. And even that is just almost like a show, right? There's nothing real about it. And so I think even when we say Jesus, Lord, King of the universe, it can sound like an empty cliche. Sure, he's king. What of it? What does it mean? Well, for the medievals and for those that lived, and even before that, those that lived with kings, it means a lot. If you remember in the history of the Jews went for a long time without a king. They were reigned, or though governed, by 12 judges. And these judges would settle debates or disputes among them. But eventually the Jews looked at these other nations, these other kingdoms surrounding them, and said, well, they have a king. We want a king too. Why do they want a king? Because a king meant everything. A king provided stability. It gave you protection. It made you a kingdom. It made you a force to be reckoned with. You could push against adversaries. And what it meant within the kingdom was peace. It allowed for your life to have a certain tranquility and order. For millennia, kings equaled freedom. And I know there were terrible kings. There were kings that took their reign and thwarted their people. But even in the midst of that, there was still an understanding that we need this king. What's interesting is I think the idea of kingship, the idea of an authority that governs me, really runs even deeper than that. It's almost innate in our psychology. Psychologists say that the one thing that babies and young people need is order and stability. That when there isn't order, when there isn't stability within the home, this is when problems arise. This is when kids begin to act out in all sorts of ways. But what do they need? They need a sense of being governed. Even though kids will kick back and scream about the rules in the household at the same time, they want them. even though they may say, I don't want to go to bed, they actually want a routine where every night they're going to bed. There's something just in our human makeup that says, that knows, I'm a creature and I need something that orders me. The idea of having a king, I don't think is human made. It's written in our bloodstream. And this is why for millennia, not only was there a king, it always was married with the idea that this kingship was divine. That this kingship, the authority that stood behind it, was an authority beyond the human power, the human entity, and was an expression of an order beyond itself. So what did kings do? What was the ultimate purpose of a king? To put it in one line, a king was there to allow its people to flourish. I'm saying a good king. There were bad kings, but what was a good king's purpose? A king's purpose, the reason why there was a king, was so that the people could flourish. And how did the king do this? Well, the king first, it governed. It governed the land. It governed who came in and out. It governed all the people. It made sure that the needs, the wants, were maintained within the kingdom. It governed all of the agriculture, the selling, the buying. It made sure that what was taking place within this little kind of world that he overlooked was always maintaining a certain flourishing for the people. A king then ordered. It made sure that there was laws, regulations, disciplines in order to maintain peace. If you did this, tranquility would reign. If you stop obeying these laws, these rules, you would be disciplined. So the king governed, a king ordered, and then the king directed. In a very real way, the king was the one that set or gave the mission of the kingdom. He almost set the identity for them. This is what we're about. This is what we're doing. This is where we're headed. A king governed, ordered, directed. G-O-D. God. So what do we do today? We're not just saying a nice cliche. Jesus is king. We're saying something profound. Jesus is the one who will govern me. Jesus is the one that is going to order me. Jesus is the one that's going to direct me. I know all of you, by speaking and hearing from many of you, live lives that are full of hardship. There's a reason why many of the saints called our experience here on earth the Valley of Tears. In a very real way that, yes, life is full of goodness, delight, and beauty, but we all know it's filled with suffering. I'm sure right now in your mind's eye, you can list 10 things that weigh upon your heart. Think especially during the winter season when the cold sets in, the sun no longer is shining as long throughout the day, and even in the midst of all these celebrations, something that really kind of sets in within the human heart is loneliness. There's so many, I think, of you that have lost loved ones during this time. It's during this time when we're meant to get with family that what becomes very evident to us. How disordered our family is. How broken and divided it is. The people that aren't there. I think during this time in the year, where we can't be distracted by going boating or summer events or all these things, when there's a stillness and a quiet, we kind of need to come face to face with suffering. That in our human experience, there's a very real, palpable brokenness. Why do I bring this up? Because I think today offers us great hope. When we declare that beyond all of this, beyond the disorder in my life, beyond in those places within my own heart where I feel like I'm going wayward, kind of just aimlessly moving along, there's a king. Now, I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's not. And if we were to really take to heart what this celebration means, I think it would bring us great hope. That behind all of the disorder in your life, the disorder in this community, this disorder in Big Rapids, in our state, in the nation, in the world, we have a king. In other words, there's someone who stands behind me always and has my back. That's a beautiful truth. I think oftentimes the reason why we feel aloof or lonely, depressed, is because we forget we have a king. There's a line in Lord of the Rings. I know many of you haven't watched Lord of the Rings. You should. It's very Catholic. But there's a line in Lord of the Rings, and the guy says, Gondor has no king. Gondor needs no king. And he's kind of saying this all puffed up, because at this point in the long adventure, Gondor's without a king. And he thinks, we don't need one. We're sufficient in ourselves. Well, a spoiler alert, Gondor eventually gets a king. And what comes with that king? Joy, celebration, peace, order. The fact of the matter is, all of us need a king. And the fact of the matter is, all of us have a king. Today, I think the church invites all the faithful universal to celebrate that truth. I mean, you can think in your mind's eye the return of the king. The king comes back in through the great gates. And what are all the people doing? They're rejoicing. They're throwing flowers in celebration. I think today I give you the permission. Go home, crack a bottle of wine, and celebrate. Lift that glass and make a cheers. To whom? Your king. I think it's something we have to recover again. I know it seems so alien. Kingship, what is it all about? But I promise you, it's in your bones. If you and I could remember deep within our own psyche, we long to be governed. We long to rally around someone who's going to fight for us, who will have our back, someone that we can truly confide in, to put our trust in, that we can give our allegiance to. This is in your bones. The fact of the matter is, you do it to someone or something. Maybe as you come before the Blessed Sacrament, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who or what is your king. What do you confide in, put your trust in, rally around? Who do you think is your ultimate protector, the one you're going to allow to govern you, order you, direct you? Today we claim Jesus Christ to be our king, but I promise all of us have a lot of other kings. And I think as you come before the Eucharist, maybe ask the Lord, Lord, reveal to me, who is my king? And then maybe give him permission to ultimately be your king, to truly take possession of your hearts and of your mind, and give you that freedom, that peace that you long for.
God, let me stand.